Grace, peace, mercy be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. These 12 Jesus sent out instructing them. So we come now to the third Sunday of our three-Sunday tour through the 10th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel, Jesus' missionary discourse, where he sends his 12 apostles out into the community to proclaim that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And just so they proclaim this message with some authority, so that those who hear the message from these 12 don't just think they're talking out their hat, Jesus gives them his authority to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cleanse the lepers, and to cast out demons. As he sends these 12 men out, he sends them out in such a way with instructions that make it clear that they are not to expect a welcoming. They're not to expect a warm welcome from those whom they are sent to. In fact, he says, I am sending you out like sheep in the midst of wolves. He tells them that you will be hated by all for my name's sake. They'll be like innocent refugees on the run. When they persecute you in one town, you are to flee to the next. So what I noticed was this, that is conspicuously absent from these instructions that Jesus gives these 12 men are words like safe, fun, enjoyable, comfortable, and a heck of a good time. And he also did not say, we did not hear him say in our gospel reading, peaceful. No, he says, do not think that I have come to bring peace to earth, but a sword. And I'm afraid to tell you that these are hard words for us to hear from our Lord, whom the prophet Isaiah once said is the Prince of Peace, whom the angels at his birth announced glory to God in the highest and peace, goodwill on earth. And I couldn't help but thinking about the youth who went to Boston this past week on this mission trip. And Sarah, what you must have, what you would have felt if Nick had sent you out into the community and said, I'm sending you out with a sword, not to bring peace. I think it would have made sorting rotten yams sound a whole lot better than you thought that it was. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth, but a sword. This is just the kind of talk from Jesus that tends to backfire on us, doesn't it? It's just the kind of thing that others will use against us. They'll say, look, there it is. You're Jesus. This is what he says right there. Jesus advocates violence, doesn't he? Which, of course, is not what he means. As in, Peter, put away your sword. Because whoever lives by the sword dies from the sword. But it's a hostile world that Jesus enters into, and it's a hostile world that everyone who enters into in the name of Jesus finds. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to earth, but a sword. We're going to take a moment here just to explore what this means. The word peace in the Greek of the New Testament is eirene. Eirene, it comes from the Greek root word iro. Iro means to join together, to join two things together so that they are one. When you join two things together and they now are one with each other, they're one in total, they're at peace with one another. You are at peace with something or someone when you are joined to it. When you become one with it, when he or she becomes one with you, you are at peace with them. Swords, on the other hand, are meant to be just the opposite and do the opposite kind of work. They are meant to separate, as in Peter separated the soldier's ear from his head. So Jesus instructs these 12 that he has not come and he has not sent them out into the world to join men and women to this sinful world so that they may be at peace with it. That'd be a false peace. Because this is a sinful and a fallen world that is dying and is destined for destruction. Rather, he's come to separate them from this world. Separate them from their own sin. The Greek word for church is ekklesia. Ek as in exit, out. Kaleo as in call, the called out. The church are the called out from this world, the separated out from this world. You don't belong to it anymore. He's cut you off from it. At the end of the this Pentecost season journey, Jesus will instruct these same 12, saying that on the last day when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne, and before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another like a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. When Jesus comes on the last day in all His glory, He's going to come like a sword. This kind of separation from the world that Jesus comes like a sword to carry out, it's not pretty. It's painful. It's gut-wrenching. Sometimes it can be heartbreaking. And that's because the places where Jesus targets His sword to be swung get terribly close to home. I think we'd be totally on board, perfectly comfortable with all of this gospel reading for this morning if only Jesus had appointed His sword to the drug dealers and the human traffickers and the porn merchants and the cruel dictators and the radical terrorists and the like. But He points His sword right at those who are nearest and dearest to us. For I have come to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. These are the ones to whom Jesus sends these 12 into the community to proclaim that the kingdom of heaven is at hand too. They're to be the sword of Jesus as they proclaim the word of Jesus to their own families. And as they themselves hold to God's word for their own lives, there are times when it is going to cause a painful, heartbreaking separation between themselves and their own family members. There are times when they will have to swing the sword of Jesus and separate themselves from family members who want them to be at peace with their own sinful lives. There are times when they're going to have to swing the sword of Jesus in their own household against their own family members to warn them to separate themselves from the false peace that they've concocted with the sin of the world that they become comfortable with and made peace with. But this just happens to be the very nature of God's word. Listen to how the writer to the Hebrews puts it. For the word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. It's not pretty. It's not peaceful. It's not fun. But then Jesus directs these 12 from their own family members, from their own household, from those who are nearest and dearest to them, to the toughest, to the most resistant people that they will encounter in their mission as they go out. These are the ones who will oppose the message that Jesus has put into their lips most vehemently. And those people are themselves. Whoever loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. We are our own worst enemy. So if peace is your bottom line, if peace is all that really matters to you, it's not such a hard thing to accomplish, really. In fact, it's quite easy. Just join yourself to this world. Make peace with it. Justify it. Call it right. Call it good. Make peace with it. It's not hard to do, even if it is a false peace. And the temptation to settle for a false peace is incredibly strong. And you know that pressure. And you know where it comes from, both within and without. And really, which would you rather be, a peacemaker or a sword swinger? Because after all, doesn't Jesus himself say, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." But Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth." At least not this kind of peace, not this false peace, not this sham peace. This is the backstory to the Old Testament reading that we heard from the prophet Isaiah in this end of a long exchange that has been going on back and forth throughout Jeremiah between the prophet Jeremiah, who's God's prophet, and the court-appointed prophet named Hananiah, who's really a false prophet. The court-appointed prophets have been preaching that everything's just fine the way it is. Don't worry, no real need for a sword. No real need for repentance. But Jeremiah accuses them of preaching a false peace. And so repeatedly throughout his story, Jeremiah repeats this refrain, "They have healed the wound of my people lightly," saying, "Peace, peace, where there is no peace." They've healed the wound of my people lightly. Just glossed over the sin. And they've called it acceptable. They've called it okay. They've called it the enlightened thing to do. All for the sake of peace. False peace that it is. Jeremiah tells Hananiah that the true prophet will be the one who both prophesies a real peace and who actually brings it to come to pass. When you hear the prophet who proclaims a peace which this world cannot give, then you know that the true prophet is come and that he is from the Lord, and you'll know it when he brings it to pass. This is the real peace that Jesus Christ has come into this world to give, and that he has sent these 12 out into this world to announce. It's the peace that begins with a sword. First, he separates you from the sin of the world by the sword of his word that exposes the sin that is in you and that is all around you. His word opens your eyes and your mind to see just how deadly this sin is, and despite all attempts to justify it and accept it, it is a deadly peace. Through his word, we long to be separated from it. We long for the sword to cut us off. But then he joins you to himself, who is the very peace of God, come down from heaven, in whom there is no sin. And he is truly good, truly sinless, truly holy. And he has joined you to himself and himself to you so that you may have peace with him. And in having peace with him, you have peace with God, a peace which this world cannot give to you and a peace which this world cannot take away from you. The hard truth is real peace never comes without a real sword. And this is what the cross of Jesus Christ is all about. Our Lord could have avoided the sword and the nails and the pain and the suffering if only he was willing to settle for a false peace with this sinful world. Just a bit of compromise would have done it. A brief bow of the knee to the serpent in the wilderness would have been all that it took. But then that's all that you would have had in him, and that's all that you and I would have ever been able to hope for from him, mere acceptance of and accommodation with this sinful world, no separation from it, no forgiveness for all of your sins. But this Prince of Peace is no sham prince. He is no false prophet. When he walked through the doors into the room where the 11 were huddled in fear and announced, "Peace be with you," it was not a sham peace that he was announcing. It was a peace that had come by the sword, and it was a real peace. He showed them the holes in his hands and the wounds in his side. It's the real thing, a peace which this world cannot give. That they would know that a true prophet was standing among them. The Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, both separates us from sin and joins himself to you and you to him in one inseparable action that cannot be divided, that cannot be separated. It all happens together in one inseparable action that is called holy baptism. Today, Charlotte Kathleen Clip was separated from sin and joined to Christ, and she has become a member of the Ecclesia. She has the only real peace that there is, and it is a true shalom. Peace even in the midst of this world that is so at ease with its sin, so hostile to the peace of God that is in Jesus Christ. And so as painful as this may be, Eric and Kimberly, there are going to be times when in your household you're going to have to swing the sword of Jesus right at your own daughter. Because as innocent as she is right now, you and I both know it ain't going to last long. And as she grows up, gets a little older, she's going to want to make peace with this sinful world. And it's your job as parents to swing the sword of Jesus right at your daughter. But you're also going to have to keep reminding her over and over again that on July 2nd, 2017, she had the peace of God which surpasses all human understanding because she was joined to Jesus Christ and all of her sins were forgiven. Past, present, future. She was joined to the Prince of Peace, and in him she has real peace, a peace which this world cannot give. And I suspect that you're going to know that you've done your job as parents well when one day, your daughter, Charlotte, swings the sword of Jesus at you. Says, "Mom and Dad, Sunday, it's time to go to church." And also reminds you that you too have been baptized and been joined to the peace, who's the Prince of Peace, this God himself come to you in your baptism. And of course, the same thing applies to each and every one of us here. And whether we're on the receiving end of the sword of Jesus or on the receiving end of the peace of Jesus, let us be thankful. Thankful that Jesus sent these 12 out with instructions, and that his word has come to us through them all the way down to our own day, that we may have real peace. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The true prophet stands among you right now. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.